Amen. And we're turning again to the book of Psalms and Psalm number 25. Many years ago, I had the privilege of being the president of the youth council of the Free Presbyterian Church for a couple of years. Really enjoyed that time. And I remember when I finished being president, I was a lot younger in those days, fitter to do it for the young people. They bought me a beautiful set of commentaries. It was Mr. Spurgeon's commentaries on the Psalms called The Treasury of David. And it was said that Mr. Spurgeon said that after he had preached through all the Psalms, and these sermons later on were put in book form, but he said he finished the book of Psalms with a very, very heavy heart, because he felt that as far as his ministry was concerned and looking forward, he didn't know how long or how short his life would be, but he felt that never again would he be able to take the time to go through all the Psalms in the way that he did as he studied and preached from the book of Psalms. And of course, the book of Psalms, it's a wonderful book, and every experience and emotion of the human heart is to be found expressed there by the psalmist. Many are prayers as the psalmist cries unto God. And this psalm, Psalm 25, it's called a Psalm of David. We're not exactly sure just when David penned the words of this psalm, but as you read through them, you realize that David, just like you and like me, there were many things that caused him discouragement and to be disheartened, but yet he could hope in the Lord and trust in the Lord and look to the Lord that the Lord might bring him through. And as we read through these words, we believe that David was facing a time of darkness. Certainly in his lifetime, it was a time of distress in his life. And as you read through this psalm, you find that he's asking for divine guidance, that the Lord would lead him and guide him, and that the Lord would protect him and keep him safe. The great missionary David Livingstone, he said, "I had rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than to be upon the throne of England and be out of the will of God." And the most safe place and the most blessed place for every one of us as the children of God is to be just right in the center of God's will for our lives. David, as you know, was the shepherd boy who became the sovereign. And as you read the life story of David, with his faults and his failings, and yet thank God with his great faith in Almighty God, we read about the human experience. And in this psalm, David was attacked by his enemies. He talks there in verse 2, "Let not mine enemies triumph over me." He says in verse 19, "Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred," or in the margin, "hatred of violence." Many sought to act violently against David to bring him down. As you read these words, we read there in verse 15 that he's not only attacked by his enemies, but it seems to be that he's entrapped in some trial or other. He says, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." Thank God for what one old preacher called divine extrication, that God is able to come down and pluck our feet out of the net. God's able to lift us up out of the pit and to set our feet upon the rock. It seems also that David was isolated from his friends and supporters, because verse 16 says, "Turn thee unto me," he's crying unto God, "and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." I am alone, probably afraid, and he is afflicted. And verse 17 tells us he's discouraged in his heart. "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses." And again, he mentions in verse 19, he's hated by his foes. There are times in our lives when we experience troubles and difficulties. And I want you to notice very simply, first of all, when we read this psalm, that the psalmist's troubles were many. We are not immune to troubles. The old gospel hymn says, "It's not an easy road we are traveling to heaven, for many are the thorns on the way." Sometimes you hear people preaching and they talk about the health and wealth, prosperity gospel. And if someone comes to Christ, they never have another problem. They never have another difficulty. They never have another trial. One old fellow, I remember, he got saved down in the old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. And when he gave his testimony, he said, "You know, I never knew there was a devil until I got saved. And then he was after me every day, all the way, trying to pull me down." Well, we will have trials. We will have troubles. The word of God says in the book of Job, chapter 14 and verse 1, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." The scripture says that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And so David says here in verse 22, "Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." And he has troubles in his heart, and his heart's enlarged with trouble. But he says in Psalm 34, he says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." He says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Thank God David knew what to do in the time of trouble. And so as he faces many, many troubles, many difficulties from his enemies without, from those who hated him without a cause, from the afflictions that he felt within, and he cries even about his own, as it were, things that he has brought upon himself. In verse 11, he says there, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." Sometimes we bring heartache and sorrow upon ourselves because of our sin. And the psalmist confessed that. He says in verse 7, "Lord, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thy me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." And the psalmist confessed, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace, but I stumble and I fall. And sometimes I bring things upon my own head." And he says, "My troubles, they are many." You can scan, as it were, over the life of David. And as we say, his troubles were many by number. We think of them by nature. We think about the troubles he had, even in his family. A young woman raped by her half-brother. And then a murder that ensued. A time when David was very, very fearful and had to hide in the cave of Adullam because of all his enemies. As one old Bible preacher said, "God put 366 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the year, and one for the leap year, because oftentimes we're fearful. Psalmist says in verse 16, he speaks about his affliction and his desolation, and sometimes we feel our own frailty. And many of us today, as we get older, and we haven't the fitness and the health and the strength and the vigor that we once had, people are afraid. Sometimes because of the family situation. Sometimes they're fearful because of the frailty of health. And David was afraid too for the future. What does the future hold? There was a time when he was cut off in the Cape. Will I ever sit upon the throne? Will I ever be able to rule the people of God? And sometimes because of our own folly, as we have said, his feet were entangled in the net. And then there was an occasion, you remember, when even the people wanted to stone David. So David knew a lot about troubles and a lot about trials. And as he pens the words of this psalm, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he reminds you and he reminds me that his troubles were many. He says later on in Psalm 119 and verse 67, he says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word." Sometimes when afflictions come, the old hymn writer says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So the psalmist's troubles were many. But I want you to notice that the psalmist's trust is manifested here. The psalmist says in verse 2, "O my God, I trust in thee. I trust in thee." Wonder, friend, today, if you're not a Christian, in whom are you trusting? Many people in our society, they're trusting in themselves. Many are trusting in their good works. Many are trusting in their church or some ceremony or ritual of the church, and some are trusting in the fact they say, well, I've never been in trouble. I am a good neighbor. I'm a good citizen. I'm a good friend to all. Never do anyone any harm. Some are trusting in their own ideas, and everybody now has their worldview and their own philosophy and their own ideology. But the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But the psalmist says, I am trusting. I trust in thee. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Here's the shepherd boy David, who trusted in the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd of the flock and the bishop of our souls. Here's this young man David who became king, who became sovereign, but he says, I am trusting in the sovereign God of heaven, the God of creation, the God of redemption, the God of salvation. Here's this young man David, this one whom God has ordained to be king upon the throne, and he's going through trouble and trial and affliction and sorrow, and the young shepherd boy and the young sovereign king and the young one who's going through sorrow, he trusts in the man of sorrows, the one who was acquainted with grief, the one who knows, as the hymn says, all about our struggles. And he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And David is sovereign, the shepherd, the one who knew sorrow. He was a soldier. He headed up the armies of Israel. Thank God he had learned to trust in the one who is the captain of our salvation. You notice that the Bible says here in verse 2, "O my God, I trust in thee." And then later on, as you read down the psalm in verse 15, he says, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord." Verse 5 reminds us, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art my God, thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." So the psalmist says, as he puts his trust in God, he is waiting before God. He's looking to, his eyes are toward the Lord, and he's waiting upon the Lord, he says, all the day. That's his prayer. And the Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And in the psalmist's difficulties and his troubles and his trials, he knew what it was to wait upon God. I remember as a young man going to meet Dr. Paisley, who was my minister. I went full of excitement and enthusiasm. I wanted to tell him, "Dr. Paisley, the Lord has called me into the work of God." And I remember he was talking to me. It was after a mission. And he says, "Fred, son," he says, "you're too young to go into the theological hall." But I haven't been told I've been too young for anything for a long, long time. But away back in those days, he says, "Fred, son, you're too young. You'll have to wait at least a year." And I went home, and I was a bit discouraged and downhearted. But you know, I turned in the scriptures that night, and I was reading the word of God, and then that verse came in Psalm 27 and verse 14. "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Sometimes we've got to be patient. We've got to wait. But friend, let me remind you of this, that God is not flustered or confused. God is not in a hurry. And God is not flustered by the schemes and the evil plots of wicked men. The Bible reminds us there of that in Psalm 2. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And they say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Listen. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." God, as the hymn writer says, is still on the throne. And God's not flustered. And God brings things to pass in his own time. And the psalmist David, he's waiting before God. And you notice, he wants to know the will of God. He cries out there in verse 4, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." Then in verse 5 he says, "Lead me in thy truth," and again, "and teach me." And then in verse 9 he says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." Psalmist waiting before God, and he wants to know the will of God. And he says, "Lord, show me," and it's repeated, "teach me, teach me, teach me." He says, "Lord, lead me." He says, "Lord, guide me." And in verse 9 it says there, "The meek will he guide in judgment." That's an interesting word. It actually means to bend. The meek will he bend in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And the thought is, just as an archer takes a rod, it's just a rod, but he bends that rod and he makes it a bow, and it becomes an instrument that's useful. So the Bible says sometimes in our affliction and our struggles and our trials and the things that come across our path, God is shaping us and molding us and making us, maybe bending us to guide us, to teach us his way, that we might be usable in his hands. And the psalmist waiting, he wants to know the will of God because he wants to walk with God. He says there in verse 16, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. He says in verse 18, look upon my affliction. Again in verse 20, oh, keep my soul. Verse 19, consider mine enemies. He wants to walk with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And as the psalmist David was going through all his trials, and his trials were many, he put his trust in the Lord, and that's manifest for us here. And he's looking to God and trusting in God that he might walk with God and that he might go according to his word. And the Bible says, the Lord tells him there in verse 14 that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and the Lord will show them his covenant. And in verse 10, he will keep his covenant and his testimonies. You notice just very quickly that the psalmist's troubles were many, and the psalmist's trust is manifest. But isn't it wonderful that the psalmist was taught by the master? He's crying here, O Lord, O Lord, O my God, O Lord, show me, teach me, guide me, bless me, help me. Remember that night, the Bible talks about it, when Nicodemus came to meet with the Lord Jesus under the cloak of darkness. And Nicodemus said, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. John 3 and verse 2. Someone said, Nicodemus just got it back to front. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And Jesus was all that. But in reality, Jesus is God come to teach. Very God of very God. Co-equal, co-eternal. He is God manifest in the flesh. And thank God we can come to him. And he can lead us. He can guide us. And he can teach us. He will teach us. Follow the Savior. I wonder who's teaching you. Maybe a young person, older person in this world. Or what school of philosophy or ideology do you follow in this world? The Bible, as we've said, says there's a way that seems right to a man. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And men and women, young people, older people are bombarded by the media of this world, the television, and the social media, and the literature of this world, all against God and his word and doing his will and going his way. But as a believer, we come, responded to the invitation that Jesus gave in Matthew 11 and verse 28. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The psalmist was taught by the master, and he looked to the Lord and he followed his way. And we can say the psalmist's triumph was marvelous. He says in verse Psalm 34 and verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I'm so glad today that God hears and answers prayer. I'm so glad that, like the psalmist David, whatever the difficulty might be, or the desolation that he experienced, or the distress that nearly drove him to distraction, or the danger that he was in, or the hardness that he felt because of his own sin, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Friend, God is just the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is the same. And to those who seek him and to those who call upon him, he will teach them. He will lead them. He will guide them. As the psalmist says, he will bring them out from having their feet, as it were, entangled in the net, and he'd bring them into a large place. But if you're in our gathering today and you don't know the Savior, you're watching online and you never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps you feel like David when David spoke about his feet being entangled in a net. Maybe there's something that is entangling you, whether it be drugs or drink or immorality or gambling, something in this world that has a grip and a hold upon you that would drag you down. Jesus Christ, he can set you free. He is able and mighty. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. It's one thing to be laboring. It's one thing to be heavy laden, but you know, the devil and sin are diabolical taskmasters. And it's like a man out there in the east, and he has the oxen, and they're pulling a plow. They're laboring. But then he comes along, and not only is making them labor, but he puts a huge burden on their back as well. That's the way the devil works. But thank God, Jesus Christ is a great emancipator and a great Savior. And he's able and willing and mighty to save and to keep. May the Lord bless these simple thoughts today from his word to all our hearts for his name's sake. Let's bow together in a wee word of prayer, please. Our God and our Father, we thank and praise thee again today. The experience that David had so long ago, Lord, it's so common even in our own hearts and lives. We have troubles and trials and difficulties. But Lord, how we thank thee that thou art the same today. Just as you delivered David, brought him through, led him on, we thank thee, Lord, that thou art able to bring us through and to keep us from falling, to keep us looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. So we pray that you'll bless your word to our hearts. We might be enabled to wait upon God, to follow his way, and to walk in his will day by day. We pray now, Lord, that you will separate us with thy blessing, that you'll take us to our homes in safety, that you'll abide with us throughout this day. And Lord, bless our meeting tonight as we join together again in thy house. May we know the blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow thereto. So separate us now with thy blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and remain and abide with us all now until the Saviour comes or calls. Amen.